Tony Triska is considered the consummate banjo artist and one of the most influential banjo players in the roots music world. For more than 50 years, his stylings have inspired a whole generation of bluegrass and acoustic musicians. With the many voices he has brought to the instrument, he in turn was profoundly inspired by the genius of Earl Scruggs. Tony will be honoring Earl, pioneer of a unique three-finger banjo style and one of the two most important figures in bluegrass, the other being Bill Monroe. He will do so at Tony Triska's Earl Jam, a tribute to Earl Scruggs at the Guthrie Center in Great Barrington, Massachusetts, this Saturday at 8 p.m. Recently, Tony was given extremely rare recordings of jam sessions featuring Scruggs and John Hartford. He's transcribed many of Scruggs' note-for-note solos from these jams, most of which Earl had never recorded. Again, Tony Triska's Earl Jam is happening at the Guthrie Center in Great Barrington this Saturday, and it's a great treat to welcome Tony Triska back to the roundtable. How are you?
I'm excellent, actually. Thank you very much, and I hope you're doing well.
I am. It's really good to hear your voice, and I thank you very much for joining us this morning. This is a fascinating project, and I assume one that's richly rewarding for you, given the reverence that you have for Earl Scruggs.
It's totally rewarding. I mean, just any way I can connect to Earl Scruggs musically. I became friendly with him in his later years, and so I was very fortunate for that. I also was very fortunate that he agreed to play on my double banjo bluegrass spectacular album. We did a duo there, and it's funny because Earl was such a laid back guy. You know, it'd be like, okay, hey, we're hanging out with Earl, and then wait, it's Earl Scruggs. You know, there was this duality there, the way I would see him. I just made sure to get permission to do this project from his son Gary, who sadly passed 2 weeks after he gave me permission to do so. And I had to speak to Gary's sons to get permission and also to John Hartford's daughter. And everyone gave me the green light. That's how I was able to move forward with this whole thing.
Give me a sense of what you got from these rare recordings and the process of transcribing them, of ultimately what you were looking for in trying to recreate these amazing jams.
Well, initially, I wasn't looking for anything. A friend of mine up in Syracuse, New York, Bob Pekel, had gotten a hold of these recordings from John Hartford because he'd been at some of these jams himself. And at some point, John Hartford said, and John had recorded everything with a cheap cassette machine. And at some point, John called this guy, Bob Pekel, and said, look, if my house burns down, all these recordings will be lost. So I want to make sure you have copies of these, which he apparently sent a ton of cassettes over to Bob Pekel. Bob, in turn, put them on a thumb drive and sent one to me. So suddenly I have these over 200 recordings. And so I started listening and hearing some amazing things that Earl was doing, because rather than only being able to play one or two solos in a song, he could play three times in a row, jam out three times in a row in a particular song, or even more. He was swinging for the fences, as I like to say. And I started hearing these amazing things that we'd never heard him play before. And this is kind of going from the mid-80s to the mid-90s. So I just started transcribing his solos to see what he was, you know, get really deep inside what he was doing. And I'd been transcribing Earl's solos since the 70s, but this was just all new information. And at some point I started thinking, well, these may never see the light of day, these recordings, but at least if I do an album where every note I play for a solo on the album is Earl's note for note playing, at least people will see, okay, well, here's what Earl did that no one's ever heard before. So that's how I approached it, making sure that every single solo I played would be note for note what, you know, these transcriptions I did of Earl's playing from the jams.
I'm assuming, Tony, that when he is swinging for the fences, then that requires you to swing to the fences.
Well, you mean just by virtue of the fact that I'm playing what he was playing? You know, I'm not. There's none of my soloing in here at all.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I'm his mouthpiece in the present day, I guess, in a way you could say, at least for this project.
I assume that gives you an incredible appreciation of what he did on this time and the skill and artistry that is present in this.
Oh, incredibly so. I mean, I was already there. There's a story, and I would agree with this myself. There's a story of Bela Fleck being pulled over for speeding or something in Nashville. He gets pulled over. Okay, sir, let me see your license and registration. Bela hands him his license and registration, and the cop says, okay, who's the greatest banjo player in the world? And Bela said, Earl Scruggs. And the guy said, okay, you can go now. I think it was a relative of Earl's. So if it had been me, I would have said the same thing. It won't work with every traffic infraction, I'm sure, with every officer. But, you know, Bela lucked out. So, but anyway, you know, I already knew he was the greatest who ever lived and ever will live on the banjo. And I think just about everybody would agree with that. It was an even deeper appreciation.
So it seems like these are two different projects, and I'm hoping you can just describe it to me, because first of all, there is Earl Jam, which is this tribute that you're doing at the Guthrie Center, and then there mm-hmm. is, as you alluded to, the recording of this, and both really, I would think, very intensive projects.
Yes, well, the album was very intensive. I was very fortunate to have, you know, some amazing musicians playing on the project. You know, I was able to get Vince Gill and Molly Tuttle and Billy Strings and Del McCurry and on and on and on. Sam Bush, Bale is on there. They're all just playing what they play or singing what they sing. Meanwhile, I'm the one that's suffering because I had to play real stuff note for note. My tongue is in my cheek when I say that, but it was true. It wasn't like I could just play freely and, you know, have something come out naturally. It was, as much as I've been into Earl's music since 1963, he was doing different things here. It wasn't like as standard as when, not that Earl was ever standard, but, you know, I was reading off the music. I was reading off the banjo tablature for my solos. The backup, I was just playing freely. But what I was playing was basically Earl's kind of backup, you know, based on what he had done. But still, it's just, it was a joy to be able to share his music with the world.
If this is a silly question, I will take it back. But is there a point where, when you do this, does it change you in a way, or is it still like, okay, now I'm playing Earl Scruggs, and now I'm going back to being Tony Trischka?
That's a good question. You know, it's somewhat going back to being myself, because I have my own style.
Sure.
But I sort of feel that everything I've done is based out of, in some way, out of what Earl did. You know, from my earliest days of playing, again, I started playing in 1963. And he was, you know, he was the guy. I mean, there were others. There was Ralph Stanley. There was Sonny Osborne. There was Don Reno. And there were others. But, you know, Earl stood high above everyone. By the same token, a lot of things he was doing in these jams was a lot of syncopation. And I was talking to Earl one time, and he said that it wasn't even in the interview. We were just talking. And he said that what he thought he brought to the banjo was syncopation, wherein you're accenting notes you don't expect to be accented. And I've always known that since his earliest recordings with Bill Monroe in the 40s and in the early 50s with Lester Flatt. But still, it was even more apparent in these jam sessions that he was doing some really intensive syncopation and learning these solos. I think it's influenced me and made my playing even more syncopated. So it's seeping into my playing even more than it had in the past from just intensively delving into all his music from these jam sessions. So I would say it has changed me, not in a profound way, but it's definitely affected my playing by doing this.
You will be at the Guthrie Center on Saturday night at 8 o'clock. What can folks expect from Earl Jam?
Well, in this show, what I do, the first half of the show is basically a survey of Earl's career. You know, we can't get into the minutiae, but basically starting with the first tune he played in the three-finger style, it's a tune called Reuben. And apparently he was, and he told me this himself, he was just, well, what happened apparently, and I just found this out, he got into a fight with his brother Horace when he was maybe 9 years old or something. Horace was his older brother, and his mother broke them up and said, Horace, you go out on the front porch, and Earl, you stay in your room and play your banjo. So Earl was playing the two-finger style, which is what he was doing at that point. And he told me one time, Tony, it's like in the movies, that middle finger got in there, and suddenly I was playing this three-finger style, and my playing all smoothed out, and that with the game Scrugg style. So that's the first tune we do is Reuben. Then we do the first tune he recorded with Bill Monroe, a tune called Heavy Traffic Ahead. And then we do some Flatt & Scruggs tunes. We do the Ballad of Jed Clampett. We do that as a sing-along with folks. Hopefully they know all three verses and go from there. And then the second half of the show is tunes taken from these jam sessions. And as much as possible, I'm playing what Earl played note for note without reading off the tablature. It's not exactly, but it's pretty close. You know, I still have a pretty good idea of what he did. So once in a while, I'll do something that I do, but a lot of it is still Earl based. So it's just fun to do this and to honor Earl. And we have, you know, just a great time doing it. So it's a really fun show.
Sounds like such a magical evening. Tony Trischka's Earl Jam, a tribute to Earl Scruggs at the Guthrie Center in Great Barrington this Saturday, June 29th at 8 p.m. You can find out more information about the event by going to GuthrieCenter.org, GuthrieCenter.org. Tony, a great pleasure as always to speak to you. Thank you so much for sharing with us. Have a beautiful time Saturday night.
Thank you, Joe. I so appreciate it. Great
Be
talking
well.
To you.
Thank you. Again, Tony Trischka's Earl Jam, a tribute to Earl Scruggs, this Saturday night at Guthrie Center in Great Barrington, GuthrieCenter.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.